In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. It seems to me, brothers and sisters, that this story about the healing of the man in the Gergesenes and then the reaction of the people is about the purpose of life, especially when you couple it with what the Apostle says in his epistle, and about missed opportunities to fulfill that purpose of life. Why are we created? Why are we here? Well, the Scripture says it in many different ways. Basically, we're saying, what is salvation? And we say, why are we created? Because we were created for salvation. We were created to know God. We were created to become perfected and to become pure. The Apostle says it today in that we are of His workmanship, created into Christ Jesus unto good works. That's one way to define why we are created. Because if we do not become good, we will not know He who is good. So that's the purpose of our life. We're His workmanship. Not by nature, but by grace, by adoption. So that we can become perfected. And we can participate in the glory of God, in the majesty of God, having the privilege to be good like God. It's a great privilege. And it's a privilege that's given to all men. But not all men take this privilege. Take, for instance, these people of the Gadarenes. They had among them one of their confederates who was possessed by a demon. And it's interesting how the Apostle describes this man, because it describes how a person is when they do not follow the law and the will of God. Now, of course, obviously someone demon-possessed is not following the will of God, the commandments of God. They're doing things either against their will or partially against their will. It's hard to know where man's will begins and ends when he's demon-possessed, that are against God's will. But of course, we also live in ways that are not according to commandments. And look at how he describes this man. He says he wore no clothes. Doesn't that bring to mind the baptismal garment? That baptismal garment that should be white? That should be virtue, righteousness? We weren't baptized so that we could have membership in something. We were baptized to become something. To become perfected. To become holy. So the man who's wearing no clothes, he doesn't have that cloak of righteousness because he's not living righteously. He didn't abide in any house, that house meaning church. By the way, if you listen closely and if you know Slavonic, the same word for house is also church. And he didn't abide in the house. He's not in the church because he doesn't live according to the ways of the church. He dwells in the tombs, and the tombs are places where dead people lie. And nowadays, of course, we have things very antiseptic. But you know, before, long ago, a place of tomb was a place of stench, a place of filth. And so, when the man sees Jesus, and the demons through him are afraid, but they're also impudent. What an interesting combination. At first they say, what have I to do with thee? Such a thing to say to someone who is better than you. Such impudence. And then yet immediately, in the same breath, I beseech thee. They're begging him that they will not have to go into the abyss. Describes what happens to the man when the demons would take control of him. Would catch him and would make him break his bands that the people had put on him, and he would go out into the wilderness and do crazy, insane things, evil things. He didn't have his faculties. Now be careful, this is not just describing demon possession. This is describing possession by sin. This is describing when we are allowing our passions to control us. So which one of us if we read this honestly now, can think we have no part whatsoever with the actions of this man. We're always clothed. We're always in the house. We're never in any unclean places. We're never doing anything that we know we shouldn't be doing, and yet we can't control ourselves. Let's be honest here. This is also a description of the way we live sometimes. So, Jesus heals the man, takes the demons out, and what happens? A rather funny thing happens. They had just begged the Lord that they wouldn't have to go into the abyss, so he allowed them to go into the pigs, and they thought that that would save them. And yet, the fury of the demons, the overt evil within them, terrified the animals, and they went down a steep cliff and they were drowned. So the demons ended up going to the abyss anyway. This shows the purposelessness of evil life. How foolish it is to sin, because sin only leads to a violent end. It only leads to things that are of no consequence in, as far as righteousness. It leads to just the end. The demons thought that they could continue in sin, but eventually for all of us, it comes a time when there is no more time. We live on the earth, and then we die. And then comes eternity. So it will come. The judgment will come. And the way the demons were shows the result of sin. Now you might think, oh, only for violent people, only for terrible demonic things. No. If we allow our passions to possess us, we're just like the man. We're just like a person with demons. Now, I'm not saying that if you are struggling with sin, that you have demons in you. Absolutely not. It is unknown when a man crosses that line where he gives into sin such that he would actually be possessed by demons. We don't know where that is. We know that people can be possessed by demons because they give into the passions. At what point does your giving into passions lead you to have demons live within you? I don't know. That's why we must struggle and repent daily. Not to be terrified that we would be possessed by demons tomorrow. It's not the type of thing that happens to a Christian tomorrow. It happens over time when we lose our faith. And by the way, there are people who believe in God and are possessed by demons, because losing your faith is not losing what you believe in, not changing your beliefs, but not living according to those beliefs. Now, the most odd part of the story is not coming up, because the swineherder sees what happened. He runs into town. He tells his masters, and they come out. Now, if one of your townspeople had been possessed by a demon and had been a terrifying person, and you'd seen him in nakedness and acting crazy all the time, and everyone was afraid of him, and perhaps he'd even murdered people and other things, wouldn't it be a wonderful day for you to see that he's in his right mind, clothed, at the feet of some man? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And yet, how did they react? They were afraid. That's very odd, isn't it? Not if you understand the psychology of man. It is perfectly understandable. When people live in sin and they don't want to change the way they live, when they see righteousness, they're afraid. And then this fear translates into anger. And they were angry that their commerce had been destroyed, because these pigs were a way of living for them. And they were an illegal way of living, because everybody knows that the Jews could not eat pork. It was an unclean animal. So they asked him to leave. And he did. And the next day, the sun came up, and they figured out how to get more pigs. And life went on. And they had had an opportunity for salvation, and they had turned it down. And when righteousness was right in their presence, when God was among them, they were afraid. And then he left, and it got a little better. Maybe the next day they remembered with a shudder what had happened. And then the next week. But a year from then, it was not at all a problem. They had their pigs back, and everything was just okay. And they were just living their life. And yet we are created as his workmanship, created for good works unto Christ Jesus. And they weren't living that way. And they'd missed an opportunity for life. Don't miss any opportunities. You know, I've talked about this part of Scripture in the same way every time, that it's about missed opportunities. Because to me, this scripture is one of the scariest and most chilling of all of the Bible. Because they asked God to leave, and he left. And things returned to what they thought was normal. How often do we ask God to leave, and he leaves? And we do something that's without purpose, but we don't know it. You know, it speaks about you could have been entertaining angels unawares when you give alms. How many times have we rejected an angel? How many times have we had an opportunity to become righteous by giving something up, by doing something good, by biting our tongue, by ceasing to judge, by showing compassion for someone? How many times? And we missed that opportunity. What a terrible tragedy. The greatest tragedies in life are the silent ones. The ones we don't know about. Because eventually, the meaning of what we have done will become clear to us. There will be a judgment. There will be a recompense. God will see whether or not he recognizes himself in us. You know, at the end of Matthew, he says, "Depart from me because I don't know you." Why doesn't he know that person? Because that person did not live in such a way that he became like unto Christ. He was created for good works, but he didn't do them. And God said, "I don't recognize you. I don't see you." Because he didn't see his image in the man. So eventually that will happen. God will look into our souls and see, does he recognize us or not? And we'll live our life. And if we're aware of that, then we will be saved. And if we're like the people of the Gadarenes that have certain things that we're attached to, and when it gets a little uncomfortable, we try to push away God so that we can not feel so uneasy, then we will eventually be quite surprised. This gospel is about opportunity. Opportunity taken or opportunity missed. Now, you have two opportunities now, in general, to be his workmanship unto good works. One is to do good works with God helping you, to become good, to humble yourself, to live your life to be a Christian, not in name, but in deed, because that's what you were made for. That's your purpose. What sense does it make to have something that has a certain purpose and you try to use it for another? I understand now, but my dad used to always get so mad at me if I tried to take a screwdriver and use it like a chisel. That's not the way you're supposed to use the tool. And of course, what would I do? Chip the screwdriver or whatever, and then it'd be useless. We don't take something for one purpose and try to use it for the wrong purpose. It makes no sense. We are created for a purpose. We are bought with a price, and we are precious. We're created for good works. So that's one way that we will do good works. But another way is to recognize when God is teaching us. And that is what the gatherings did not do. Nothing that the gatherings had done up to the time the Lord had entered into their coasts was not changeable, was past the point of no return. The Lord came and delivered a sound rebuke to them by taking away their pigs in such a violent way. They should have seen it. They should have recognized it. But they didn't. Because of their pride and because of their unrighteousness and their fear. Doesn't this remind you of another occurrence in the Scriptures where someone was rebuked and responded in a way that was godly? In fact, we call her equal to the apostles now, don't we? Saint Fortuny, the woman at the well. A woman who had had five husbands, and the one she was with at the time that the Lord was talking to her was not her husband. And he made that clear to her. He showed her her sin, flat out and blunt. And what did she do? She ran to her people. She said, she found someone, is it not the Christ? And brought her people, who were outcasts, basically Jewish heretics, is what the Samaritans were. And they sat at the feet of Jesus and begged him to stay. And he did. Because if we beg the Lord to stay, he will stay. If we beg him to leave, he'll leave. And for 2 days they taught. They were taught by him. And they learned of Jesus Christ and of his righteousness. This is the reaction we should have when our sin is exposed. We beg the Lord to stay, not to leave. We are created for good works. We are his workmanship. Our purpose in life is to become good. So if we are taught something about what is not good in our life, let us accept it. There won't be any obvious indication when you have rejected God in your life, brothers and sisters. On a moment-by-moment basis, there's no red light that goes on warning. No. You just accept God or reject Him and move on. And God is with you or without you. Just like it was with the people of the gatherings. God left. Don't ask Him to leave. Do everything in your power to beg Him to stay.